Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark 11, 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank my sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for your word. We pray that today, not only in these moments, but in moments to come, that we would truly, truly hear your voice and follow how you guide us. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. Hosanna! I apologize for any of those that have woken or that are in need of medical attention. I believe that we have nurses, I know I'm looking at one at least that we have. I feel that it is important to share the scripture as it is written. And so when we shout Hosanna today, we shout it. And yet, what are we really shouting about? What are we really excited about? A moment that I will remember for the rest of my life. A wonderful, holy moment involving a basketball going through the hoop. North Carolina State upsetting the University of Houston in the men's basketball championship. Yeah! Nobody else with me there? I was alone in the crowd there. I was saying, "Hosanna, nobody else is with me." Okay, certainly. I enjoy NCAA men's basketball. I enjoy March Madness. I enjoy the tournament time. Yet it's interesting, especially whenever you see a game like the one I just described. I believe that was 1983. I'm not sure. You can check me on that. When the game like that ends, and it's a particularly big upset. One team should not probably even be on the court with another team, but that's why they play the game. And the team that is the underdog wins. What happens then? The court, everybody rushes the court. There's this energy, there's this enthusiasm, everybody pours out. I've thought many times that I would not want to be the person who made the last shot, because that poor bugger is underneath the pile then. Not much thanks for winning the game. You get beat on. You get landed on. There's that energy that you see, and there's that excitement that becomes contagious, even watching it on a television screen. And yet, what are people particularly excited about? What are they enthused about there? Winning a basketball game. Where is our excitement in our lives? Where is our energy focused? Where indeed is our passion for our faith? That's a question that we are called to look at regularly, but especially at Holy Week as we enter into it. We do that today. That is the question that's right before us. Where is your passion for your faith, for your walk with Christ? There was certainly a lot of energy in this story, wasn't there? A lot of energy. Enthusiasm. And yet, as I referenced whenever I was talking to the kids, whenever they came up, this wasn't really a parade. This was more of a gathering that grew and grew and grew. Not really a demonstration, if you will. We have some images of demonstrations right now, don't we? Seems like any time world leaders get together, there's always some folks that decide to destroy. There's always some folks that decide to try to create chaos and cause fires and break windows. This wasn't that at all. But this was of messianic proportions nonetheless. There were those there, I'm sure, that sensed this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the promised Messiah. There were those who probably remembered in Zechariah, whenever there was another messianic demonstration staged, one that was pointing towards the coming Messiah. They might have been thinking about what happened back in 2 Kings when Elijah anointed Jehu and he came in, entered in a similar kind of procession that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. You see, there were those there that were thinking of or at least remembering the stories of these other things that had happened. And here, finally, there's a culmination of God's purpose for His creation, a connection between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, or this new covenant, this new saving relationship that God seeks with His people. Finally, there's a culmination. And what are people getting excited about that day? A rabbi traveling into town on a colt. Not necessarily the powerful general coming in on the steed, is it? Waving the sword, saying, I'm in charge now. A symbol of peace. A symbol of peace delivered. Ushering in the kingdom of God in a whole new way. There were those that got caught up in the excitement, I'm sure. Just like some of those that run onto the court and don't really know why. They get caught up in the excitement. Individuals in the crowd that would not have normally been waving these palm branches, that would not, well, never would have thought of taking off their cloak. You know, people didn't have wardrobes in that day. There was no such thing as JCPenney's, Dillard's, Walmart. If I've forgotten your favorite store, I'm sorry. I get no kickback for mentioning stores in the sermon. Although that's a good idea, actually. I might want to work that out. Fundraiser. To take off their cloak, to take off one of their most prized possessions, their protection from the elements, and throw it in the front of a farm animal to walk on. That's what happened. Why this enthusiasm? Why this incredible outpouring of emotion? Some were just caught up in what others were sharing. And for us as the church, more so, for us as individual Christians, we must remember this. It's not simply for us to be along for the ride as Christians. God is seeking to have a personal relationship with us through Christ. In other words, God is seeking to engage us personally and individually. Not just saying, okay, you showed up in that building on Sunday, you're covered. For us, it's about understanding where our passion is directed and making sure that it's directed in the right place. For us, it's about being able to answer that question. When we shout out, save us, from what? I was leading a discussion with some Boy Scouts, and Boy Scouts ask some of the most challenging questions, by the way, especially about faith. One of the questions one of the young men wanted to ask me and wanted me to explain in 5 minutes the theology of the Trinity. Said, my friend, they've written books on that. There are professors that will take whole courses, and you still don't understand the theology of the Trinity after spending weeks and weeks and hours and hours. He didn't like that answer. Anyways, but that's what I offered. But I asked them a question. Even as they were asking me questions to earn this merit badge, God and country badge, and the question that I asked them was this. What do you think that Jesus is saving you from? Now, you know, there were some answers that were deep, death. There were also some answers, and there's always one in every crowd, from my math test later this week, you know, things like that. And yet, there are very poignant answers as well. What is Jesus saving you from? The expectations of my parents. Fear, loneliness. What is Jesus saving you from? Only something that you can answer before God. And only something that we can answer as we have not simply been part of the crowd on Palm Sunday, but rather continued the journey each and every day of the week. Been there at the table. And also at the cross. For us, as I say that, there's still great joy in that, isn't there? Being at the cross, because we know what happened. For us to humble ourselves this week, for us to recognize that Jesus is pointing, reliably so, towards the path that we are called to follow, and for us to recognize and maybe reorient where our passion is focused in life. It's important. And this week is a gift from God to you to do so.